Joining me on the phone, member for Mallee, Dr. Anne Webster. Good morning. How are you, Anne?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Dave?
I am very, very good. Now, the first thing on the agenda for this morning, and a lot of people talking about this, is the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Is that right? Did I get that right?
You did get that right. People have got all kinds of ways they want to say that word, and most of us hesitate, just as we're about to say it. Omicron is the way it's generally stated. It is, it's really nothing that we shouldn't have expected. There will be mutations, there will be different variants that come out. The question is it going to endanger life? And what we know about this right now, which of course is not its full research capacity, we don't have that information, but we do know that the symptoms seem to be milder. Yes, it may transmit more readily, but you know, as the previous Deputy Health Officer, Nick Coatsworth, has said, in some ways you want it to spread through the community so that next time it comes through, everyone's covered. So, look, I think we just need to remain calm. We've closed the international borders for 2 weeks just to give that breathing space to ensure the research is provided to medical experts, those wonderful people who let us know what we need to do. And and hopefully the borders will open soon. So, look, if people want to know more information, they should go to australia.gov.au and look at the Smart Traveller Travel Advisory and Communications, and they'd be able to know who can come in at the moment, who isn't coming in. And, you know, I mean, fundamentally, we just want to stay out of lockdowns. We just don't need them anymore.
Oh,
and
true.
There's no evidence to say that this should be happening. We are one of the most highly vaccinated populations in the world, and that puts us in an incredibly good position.
It does, and that may be a little bit of silver lining in that cloud, possibly, keeping the fingers crossed then, if it is milder. And again, the research is not done completely, though, at this particular stage.
Well, Paul Kelly, Chief Health Officer, said yesterday there is no evidence that our vaccines have less efficacy or are less effective with the Omicron variant than with previous variants. So I think, you know, I think at the moment we just need to breathe and just get through this and not panic.
There was a great book that was released a lot of years ago now, and the front cover said, "Don't panic." I don't know if you're a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fan at all, but "Don't Panic" is a great way to live, certainly in this day and age. Social media.
Absolutely.
The social media bill is before the Parliament, or it's coming up before the Parliament very, very soon.
Yeah, look, I'm really pleased about this. Your listeners may or may not know that I've actually been on this case since I went through my own defamation process in the first 12 months of my election. And so one of the things that I really wanted to see was that social media platforms would be held to account as publishers. So when the Vola case occurred in the High Court, and the High Court actually made News Corp and every other media agency
including you,
for anything that somebody else might say as a third party, it put, you know, I mean, it just made everybody panic, for goodness sake. Nobody wants to be held accountable for other people's nonsense. So this legislation will sort that out, and social media platforms will be responsible to have processes in place where complaints can be made. One of the things that I found was that the process of making a complaint about defamation was that it was really hidden. It wasn't easy to find on the social media platform. So they have to make that very clear. The processes need to be really clear, and they need to be able to provide the end user's contact details so a defamation process can be taken to the courts. Now, my argument still remains, though, that ordinary Australians cannot afford to take people to court, nor do they want to waste their time taking people to court who have said the most toxic and venomous material about them. And it's not just politicians that happens to, of course. And, you know, bullying online is a terrible phenomenon. We want to protect our children, protect, you know, our loved ones. people who have who are fleeing domestic violence or have estranged relationships where they are at risk need to be protected. So, you know, I think this bill goes a long way to getting a targeted and balanced approach. And I'm really pleased to say that this will progress measures to complement the existing defamation reform work that we're doing with states and territories. So I'm very hopeful that this weird space called social media will be have better parameters and people will be safer.
Honestly, it's probably a good chance to remind people too that you think twice and you type once. It used to be measure twice and cut once in carpentry circles, yeah. But think twice, type once, because people just, they go off without a thought or half a thought, yeah. And that's yeah. That starts all sorts of nasty conversations online.
Look, it's true, and while people want to be spontaneous and free to do whatever they like, the reality is that there are consequences, and sometimes responding the next day is even better. Or type it up and, you know, feel good about typing it up and then delete it.
Yes.
Because it may not be in your interest to actually post it or send it.
So true.
You know, it's that balance of freedoms and responsibilities. And we've done an awful lot of fighting over the last 50 years for freedoms. Now we need to take a really serious look at responsibility.
That is true. That is true. Just quickly, the religious discrimination legislation. It's making news as well. What can you tell me about that?
Well, the legislation is coming into Parliament, my understanding is, in the next couple of days. There has been a lot of consultation. It is in response to the Ruddock Review, which had thousands of people write in about it. And it's basically about protecting the attribute of having a faith and a belief. So we have anti-discrimination for age, sex, disability and race. And this is the piece of the puzzle, if you like, in terms of protecting people's personal attributes that is not in law at a Commonwealth level. So there may be state and territory jurisdictions that have particular anti-discrimination laws. This one will trump those and will ensure that states allow religious freedoms.